p.m. March 9th. This is the regular scheduled meeting of the Aleutians East Borough. And before I get started, too, I heard that Akatan is now on with KSDP radio. So if they're here, welcome aboard. Anyway, Laura, you want to go ahead and call roll?
Yes, both Paul and Tom are excused for today. I just want to start with that. Chris?
Here.
Daly?
Here.
Warren?
Yeah, here.
Josie?
I'm here.
Brenda?
Yes, here.
Jim?
Here.
Samantha? Samantha? We have a quorum.
Okay, thank you. So, who do we have in the King Cove office?
You got me, Chris, and then you got Warren, Brenda, Jackie, and Seward Jr.
Okay, thank you. Cold day?
Just myself, Daly.
Thank you, Daly. Nelson Lagoon?
Hey, this is Bobby Allen, Nelson Lagoon Corporation president. I'm here just kind of observing the meeting.
Okay, thank you. False pass. Sandpoint is Jim and Alvin. Actan.
Hello, Mr. Mayor. Just myself, Josie.
Hey, Josie. Anchorage office.
Yes, Mayor Speck. There's myself, Annie, Glenora, Talia, Charlotte, Ernie, Laura, and then Lori Pierce with the City of Cold Bay.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so we do have a quorum. We need a motion to adopt the agenda.
This is Brenda. So moved.
Thank you, Brenda.
Mayor?
Yeah.
Don't we have to remove a resolution before we approve the agenda?
Well, I need to get it on the floor, and then there will be an amendment to it made, proposed.
Okay.
So is that a second?
Actually, Josie seconded it.
Okay. Thank you, Josie. Okay, so before us, we have the agenda on the floor. Are there any changes to the agenda?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to remove Resolution 23-45.
Okay. So we have a...
I'll second it. This is Chris.
Okay, thank you, Chris. So before us, we have... amendment to the main motion to remove 2345 from the agenda. Any discussion on it? Hearing none. Call a question on the amendment.
Josie?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
And then I'm sorry, I forgot if Samantha was here. Sam?
I'm here, yes. I just called in, sorry.
Perfect.
Okay.
Motion carries.
Okay, so... with that, the main motion was to remove 2345. 7:45 from the written published agenda. So now we need to adopt the agenda as amended. So if there's no...
I make a motion, this is Chris, that we adopt the agenda as amended.
Okay. But I think that's going to be on the floor. So we just need to call a question on the main motion on the agenda.
Jim?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, thank you. Does anyone feel like they have a conflict of interest on any agenda item? Hearing none. So we have a presentation by the City of Cold Bay on the PFAS water update. Lori, you want to take this?
Yes, I sure will. So this is Lori with the City of Cold Bay, and I'm just here to give an update on our PFAS water situation. We were retested November 15th. We received those tests in January. It did not go how we wanted to, although it did go how we expected. Both of our wells now are above the 70 parts per trillion, which is adopted by Alaska, or that what you should not go over. So both of our wells now are over that 70 parts per trillion. So well number two is not the well we were using mainly until we got tested for PFAS back in April for the first time in 2022. That we have found now that the more you use a well that has PFAS in it, the higher the numbers are going to be. So when they tested us in November, they also tested six private wells that have not been used since the 90s when the city went on a public water system. Out of those six wells they tested, five tested for PFAS. They did not test over the 70 parts per trillion, but they did test for PFAS. So at this time, we are in a holding pattern waiting for a solution. The solution is a filtration system on our water plant, but we're just at this time in a holding pattern for that solution. I'm happy to answer any questions that anybody has to the best of my knowledge.
Okay, thank you, Lori. Yeah. Any questions out there for Lori on their water system?
Lori, this is Chris over here in King Cove.
Hi, Chris.
So you said the limit is they don't want you to go over 70 parts per trillion. Is that what you were saying again? Or?
Yes, sir. So the Alaska limit that has been adopted by DEC is 70 parts per trillion. So in order for it to be safe drinking water, it should be under that 70 parts per trillion, and both of our wells now are over that 70 parts per trillion.
Okay, so that would be well number three and well number two?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. And we are being provided drinking water by DOT until the problem is solved.
But this PFAS is not affecting, like if you're taking a shower or doing laundry or boiling water, cooking with it and all that, that's not affected by if it's heated up?
So no, PFAS is not, you cannot boil PFAS out of water, so it is recommended not to use any of the water from the public water system for making your food, so boiling, making coffee, et cetera, no baby bottles, things like that. So you should not ingest it. It is fine for showering, laundering, doing any outside, you know, if you're doing any outside work or such. You can use it for that. You just washing your hands, just not for ingesting.
And then remind us again, this PFAS, what was it exactly again?
PFAS is caused or comes from the AFFF firefighting foam.
Okay, so that's probably a lot from during World War II?
Yes, that in DOT. So DOT is the responsible party on this, and there is a grant out there that the state has that has been put in place to help take care of this situation. So right now the city of Cold Bay is working with a private engineer to get a plan for our water plant for design, and we are hoping to take that to the state and say we have a plan, now we just need grant money to get it fixed. That is how we're moving forward until we get something back from the state on how they're going to proceed. We're trying to push this along. Dillingham on private wells in their city has been on drinking water for 5 years. I do not want our city on drinking water for 5 years.
No, and we certainly don't want that either. Was there talk about, in the new plan, was there talk about possibly drilling some new wells, or is that even feasible?
It's not feasible for the fact that there's not just PFAS in Cold Bay. There's all kinds of contaminants from the military that was left there. So we know that our water plant drinking water is excellent, minus the PFAS.
Okay, thank you. I support anything that you guys need from the borough. It's something that definitely needs to be taken care of. And so whatever we can do, I certainly will support. So thank you, Lori.
Thank you.
Lori, our mayor, can I? This is Daly. Can I?
Sure, Daly, go ahead.
Okay, Lori, just to let people know, and correct me if I'm wrong, people living in Cold Bay shouldn't ingest any more of it, but people traveling through Cold Bay, it doesn't really affect them that much. Is that correct?
So the recommendation is to not drink the water. It has been stated by the health department in D.C., that the 70 parts per trillion is a lifetime health advisory. So they say people that are coming through, just traveling through, that are there for 2-3 weeks or even just overnight, that it will not affect them because they're getting a very small amount of it. And the 70 parts per trillion is a lifetime health advisory. So over a lifetime, you shouldn't have 70 parts per trillion of PFAS in your body.
Right. Just so people know, because we get a lot of people traveling through here, and
they say that it will not affect them whatsoever.
What is the long term effects of this PFAS? I mean, what can it do to a human being?
They haven't really came out, Chris, with anything. They haven't linked any illnesses, any diseases, any cancers. They have not been able to link anything to PFAS at this time. They are just saying for those that already have underlying health conditions or babies, that would be the first people that it would affect over a period of time. It would affect them first. So their health advisory to come out with is to those people definitely should not drink the water. But it's just a recommendation. They can't regulate it either way, other than we are providing, or DOT is providing everybody with an alternative so that they don't have to drink the water.
And that water being brought in by DOT is working out good. I mean, it's getting in and it's getting to the population over there?
Yes, and we just, in the last 2-3 weeks ago, DOT finally shipped in 5-gallon water jugs with got with the dispenser. So each household and each business has a dispenser with a 5-gallon water jug now, so we do not have to deal with the 16-ounce water bottles anymore. Those are a pain. We find those all over town. It's just filling the burn box is all it's doing. So now we're on a more viable option for long-term instead of short-term 16-ounce water bottles. But we have plenty of drinking water. They're making sure that we have plenty of drinking water is available for everyone.
Also, again, okay. This is Daly. We have the water dispenser up at the terminal, too, for people coming through. So it's there.
Okay. Thank you, Lori.
You're welcome.
Are there any other questions for Lori before we let her run off? Okay. Thanks again.
Thank you. I appreciate it, y'all.
You bet. So before us, we have February 9th minutes of the regular meeting. We need a motion and a second to bring them on the floor.
I make a motion that we bring the February 9th meeting minutes to the floor.
This is Brenda.
Thank you, Brenda. Does anybody have any corrections, additions to February minute? Hearing none. If there's no objections, I'm going to let the February 9th, 2023 minute stand as written. Okay. We need a motion and a second to bring the financials to the floor.
I'll make a motion, Mrs. Josie.
Thank you, Josie.
I'll second. This is Daly.
Thank you, Daly. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Sprecken Assembly. Before you are the January 2023 financials. Just to highlight a few items. One is the AED raw fish tax. In January of 2023, we had about $304,000 of revenue come in, which puts us at about 112% over the five-year average. And then that's a total year-to-date amount of $3.149 million. There were two questions posed at the workshop. One was in regards to Fund 20, the NIFWIF electronic monitoring grant. Those numbers are correct. They were just put in wrong line items. So there's no action required, just something we'll fix internally. But those numbers are right. We're at 47.99% of that grant. And then the other one was in regards to the Cold Bay terminal, and honestly, I coded it wrong. That was an expense for the helicopter operation instead, so that'll get moved. I just coded that wrong, but no actions needed on behalf of the assembly. Other than that, if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you, Annie. Questions on the finances? Hearing none. Question on the motion?
Warren?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes, ma'am.
Josie?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Thank you. Before you, you have the investment report in your packet for you to take a look at. And Annie, do you have anything to add to it?
Yeah, just one thing, Mayor Osterbeck. I did look at the website yesterday. The balance currently is at about $44 million, so it did decrease significantly since January 31. But that's to be expected with the home market.
Okay, thank you. Does the assembly have any comments or questions on it? Okay, thank you. Next item on the agenda, we need a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda.
This is Brenda, so moved.
Thank you, Brenda.
Jim.
I'll second Mrs. Josie.
Thank you, Jim. Okay, thank you. Annie, you want to touch on these?
Yes, matter of fact, so the first one's resolution 2341, and I'll have Ernie explain that. Thank you.
Thank you, Annie. Thank you, Mayor. Resolution 2341, a resolution of the borough approving a plat of U.S. Survey number 6429, creating lots 1A and 1B. You saw this last month as the platting board. All the same materials are in the packet. What this does is creates basically lot 1B, which is a little over a fifth, a little under a fifth of an acre, to that'll be where the new power plant goes. And so this lot 1, is owned by APICTA, and they're donating a part of that lot to the electrical project. In the packet is the resolution for the assembly. The plat itself, on the second page of the plat, there's a couple changes with names entered for certification and ownership. There's a technical drawing more about the electrical project, an executive summary of the project, and the village resolution accepting it. Again, you've seen all this last month, so I can take any questions.
Thank you, Ernie. Okay. No questions? Annie?
Yes, the next one's resolution 2343, approving the projects and initiatives identified on the borough strategic plan. We did conduct a planning work session on February 17th. We reviewed the project initiatives with the assembly. In the packet is the vision application chart, showing the strategic plan from March 1st, 2023 to February 28th, 2024, and that is presented in this resolution 2343 for approval. There was a typo in the title of the resolution. It said 2243. That should be 2343, and that'll be a clerical change on our part, so no action is needed on that. And if there are any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you, Annie. Questions? Okay. Annie?
Yes, Mayor. Correct. Okay, so the next one is 2344. This is a resolution approving certain unincorporated communities and their respective Native Village Council and or incorporated nonprofit entity for participation in the FY24 Community Assistance Program. This is something we do annually, which is why it's on the consent agenda, but essentially we are required to adopt a resolution identifying those unincorporated communities located within the borough boundaries, and that is the Nelson Lagoon Village Council. Once this is approved, we will be submitting the application that's shown behind this on behalf of the Village of Nelson Lagoon, and then the community assistance should be routed through the borough for them. So with that, if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you, Annie. Questions? Hearing none. Question on the motion?
Brenda?
Yes, ma'am.
Chris?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Haley?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, thank you. So before us, we have two public hearings on ordinances, and I need a motion and a second to bring ordinance 2302 to the floor for public hearing.
I'll make a motion to bring 2302.
I think the motion was by Josie. I didn't get the second.
Yes.
This is Daly. I'll
Brenda,
second.
Did you second? Daly? Okay, Daly seconded. Okay, Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osterback. So I'm going to just talk about Ordinance 2302 and 2303 since they're regarding the same topic. but the one on the floor currently is Ordinance 2302, delegating to the Aleutians East Borough School Board the responsibility of a centralized treasury, and then there's Ordinance 2303, amending Title VI, Chapter 6.04, Section 6.04060 of the Aleutians East Borough Code of Ordinances. Per Alaska Statute Title 14, there is a relationship defined between the borough school district and the borough in regards to finances and buildings. The subsection does state that the borough assembly may, by ordinance, require that all school money be deposited in a centralized treasury with all other borough money. The borough administrator shall have the custody of, invest, and manage all money in the centralized treasury. However, the borough assembly, with the consent of the borough school board, may, by ordinance, delegate to the borough school board the responsibility of a centralized treasury. Therefore, it's my understanding that in 1988-1989, the borough assembly approved Ordinance 89-7, establishing Section 6.04060 of the code, which included the school district in the borough centralized treasury. Therefore, the borough set up the school district's checking, payroll, and accounts payable accounts, which is under the borough's umbrella. Borough administrations and finance have met with the school district, and it was agreed that we should consider decoupling the accounts. We believe it was originally structured this way due to Alaska statute, as outlined earlier, and for investment reasons when the school district formed. The investment problem no longer exists. This current structure creates problems during the borough's annual audit, as it distorts the borough's cash on the balance sheet and makes it look like the borough owes the school district money. It also prevents the school district from being able to make financial decisions within their accounts without approval from the borough finance director. One of the requirements per Alaska statute was to receive consent from the borough school board to delegate to the school board the responsibility of a centralized treasury. The Aleutians East Borough did approve Resolution 2301 in January of 2023, providing that consent. The other requirements are the two ordinances before you today. With that, if there are any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you, Annie. Any questions on Ordinance 2302? Okay. At this time, then, I'll go ahead and open the public hearing on Ordinance 2302. I don't hear anyone, so I'm going to close the public hearing and call the question on the motion.
Bailey?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, thank you. So before us, I have Ordinance 2303, and I need a motion to bring this to the floor for a public hearing.
Motion, Warren.
Thank you, Warren.
I'll second it, Chris.
Thanks, Chris. So Annie already went through this when she explained the 2302. So does any of the assembly have any comments? Hearing none, I'll go ahead and open the public hearing on Ordinance 2303, amending Title VI, Chapter 6.04. Hearing no public, I'll close the public hearing and question on the motion.
Josie?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Bailey?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, thank you. So before we have resolutions, first one, they need a motion and a second to bring resolution 2342, amending the Aleutians Eastboro Employee Handbook, to the floor.
So moved.
This is Chris. I make a motion.
I think Josie made the motion, so Chris, second?
I'll second it.
Thank you. Annie?
Yes, Mayor, Mr. Beck, in Assembly. So Resolution 2342 does do some amendments to the Borough Handbook, Employee Handbook. Alaska Statute Section 29 authorizes municipalities to create and implement personnel systems to govern the terms of municipal employment. And per our code, we are directed to adopt a personnel policy. The Employee Handbook went through a comprehensive review in 2021 and was updated and approved on October 14, 2021. Administration has reviewed the current handbook and is suggesting the following changes. One is to per diem, section 4.8.4, which would change that historically set rate for folks or employees to travel within the region for an overnight stay or for a trip of a duration of 10 hours or more from $65, and the proposed language would change this to reflect the per diem amount rate set by the Department of Defense for Cold Bay. It's staying in Cold Bay, False Pass, King Cove, Nelson Lagoon, Fort Muller area, and or Sand Point. And the Dutch Harbor on Alaska rates is staying in Accutan. The March 1st, 2023 rates for local meals in Cold Bay is $97. And the Dutch Harbor on Alaska rate is 103. Administration is recommending the changes outlined in the packet, but essentially it would add that language where it says, if traveling within the borough, the employee's per diem allowance will be determined according to the Federal Department of Defense local meal rate for Cold Bay, if staying in those locations I've already stated, and the Dutch Harbor on Alaska rate if staying in Accutan. The second change is to regarding cashing out vacation leave. It's proposing adjustments to Section 5.4.7, and the existing language allows employees to cash out a maximum of 80 hours of unused vacation leave per year. There may be instances when an additional leave cash out may be warranted. Therefore, administration is proposing that we add the option for the borough administration or designee to approve an additional vacation leave cash out in an amount not to exceed 40 hours if it's determined to be in the best interest of the borough. This is something that the administrator, myself, or my designee would determine if that's something we could or should do. The third change is to the organizational chart. The existing chart is attached in here for your reference, but it shows the finance director and the accounting clerk under the borough administrator. There's an asterisk next to the finance director which states, per ordinance 1908, any finance director hired after May 9th, 2019 will report to the mayor. Since we have hired a finance director after May 2019, administration is proposing to move finance director and accounting clerk under the mayor. The updated organizational chart is included as in Exhibit A of the new handbook, which would be dated March 9th, 2023, as this would go into effect immediately. So those are the three proposed changes. If there's any questions, please let me know. And this is something that administration will look at annually to make changes to make sure that we're in compliance with all the new codes, updates, or anything else that's occurring within the region. Thank you.
Thank you, Annie. Any questions for Annie on this?
I have a question, Mr. Josie.
Go ahead, Josie.
I was just wondering with the employees leave, is that use it or lose it?
No, it's not.
Okay, so if they don't cash out annually, or they can roll that over?
Correct.
Okay,
as of right now.
Thanks.
Yep.
Okay. Others? Okay. Call a question on the motion.
Jim?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, thank you. Hey, Annie, I got a housekeeping question. Since we pulled Resolution 2345, does 2346 become 2345?
No.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I need a motion and a second to bring Resolution 2346 to the table.
This is Brenda. So moved.
Thank you, Brenda.
I'll second it. This is Chris.
I'll second.
Thanks, Chris. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly. So before you, Resolution 2346, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a service agreement with BDO to provide professional auditing services to the Aleutians East Borough for fiscal year 2023 in an amount not to exceed $95,000. On January 16th, 2023, the borough did issue a request for proposal from qualified audit firms to audit the borough's financial statements for FY23 and FY24 with the option to continue the contract for the next three subsequent fiscal years, so for FY25, FY26, and FY27. RFP responses were due on February 16th. We received two proposals from qualified firms by that deadline. Proposals were each given scores out of a possible 100 points based on the scoring guidelines from the RFP. A panel consisting of the administrator, assistant administrator, and finance director met on February 23rd to discuss the overall score for each proposal, and this included firm expertise, qualifications, and the proposal itself, organization experience and audit approach, personnel experience and qualifications, and cost. BDO held the highest overall score. A notice of intent to award the contract was sent to BDO on February 23rd. And then BDO's base bid for FY23 audit work was $80,000, which excluded travel expenses, out-of-pocket costs, and unexpected work that may be needed due to any audit findings. An additional $15,000 has been added to the base bid to allow for those costs, totaling $95,000 as the not-to-exceed amount for the FY23 contract. BDO does anticipate that the preliminary FY23 audit work will begin in April with a planning meeting followed by 4 to 5 months of work that may include travel to King Cove. Of course, the schedule is always subject to change. FY24 audit work will require a new services agreement and resolution, which will be presented to the Assembly at that time. If there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thanks, Annie. Questions?
Hi, Mr. Okay. Mayor. This is Josie. I have a question.
Go ahead, Josie.
Can you refresh my memory who did it last year, our audit?
Yes, of course. So in 2018, we actually went out for, we issued a request for proposal. BDO was hired at that time, so they did FY18, 19, 20, 21, and 22. So they have done our past five-year fiscal audits. So they would just be continuing their services at this time.
Okay. And how much was it last year?
It was about the same price. I don't know off the top of my head, but it was around $80,000 plus an additional funds for travel.
Okay, I was just wondering if, since now that we're moving the school district funding, separating those, does that bring the cost down any, or?
No.
How's that?
Okay. No, Mayor Speck, Assembly Member, for Josie, no, it does not. The audit, BDO actually does the Aleutian Eastborough School District audit as well as a totally separate contract, so that won't impact us at all.
Oh, okay, that was all I had. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, other questions? Hearing none. Question on the motion?
Chris?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, thank you. I need a motion and a second to bring Resolution 2347 to the floor.
This This is Brenda. So moved.
Thank you, Brenda.
This is Josie. I'll second.
Thank you, Josie. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly. So Resolution 2347 is to authorize the mayor to negotiate and execute a helicopter services agreement with Maritime Helicopters to provide helicopter services between the Acutan Airport on Akoon Island and the community of Acutan. As many of you know, the borough has entered into a co-sponsorship agreement between the city of Acutan, the borough, and the state of Alaska Department of Transportation in January 2010. We agreed to provide reasonable public access between the community of Acutan and the airport. In September 2012, the borough began operating the hovercraft, which proved to be expensive and unsustainable, and replaced service with a helicopter. The borough and Maritime Helicopters entered into a helicopter service agreement dated November 22, 2013, to provide transportation between the two islands. This agreement was extended to January 31, 2019. The borough was subsidizing the helicopter operation approximately $1.5 million, which once again was unsustainable. In 2019, the United States of America's Department of Transportation, the USDOT, agreed to cover 50% of the helicopter expenditures between Acutan and Akoon. Maritime and USDOT entered into an agreement to provide essential air service between Acutan and Akoon between February 1st, 2019 through March 31st, 2021. In turn, the borough entered into a helicopter service agreement agreeing to pay for the remaining 50% of the essential air services costs. So this like reduced our costs significantly. In 2021, USD once again agreed to provide essential air service between the two islands between April 1st, 2021, and which is ending here coming up on March 31st, 2023. They covered 50% of the helicopter, and the borough covered the additional 50%. That is, like I said, our current agreement is ending at the end of this month. So in October 2022, USD DOT issued a request for essential air service proposals at Acutan again. Two proposals were received, and the borough is still waiting on a decision from USDOT on the EAS, and have been told that I'll be receiving that decision sometime soon. So due to timing, administration is requesting that the Assembly approve this resolution, allowing the mayor to authorize or authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute an agreement for helicopter services. We do not know the annual cost for these services. I would anticipate that they'd be slightly higher than what we're currently paying due to inflation, but I don't think that they're going to be too horrible, but that's to be seen, I suppose. But the borough will continue providing the following services to Maritime and will also bill Maritime for skiff charter services, hangar fee, and helicopter fuel charges. So we bill them monthly for those services. With that, we are recommending approval of this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you, Annie. Questions?
Yes, I have one. This is Josie.
Annie. Go ahead, Josie.
With these agreements, are they annually or every 2 years?
So, Mayor Osterbeck, Assembly Member, the last couple have been for two-year periods, and I'm not sure what this one will be. I'm assuming it'll be 2 years. It may be more, but
okay.
I'm assuming it's two.
That's what I was wondering. Thank you.
Other questions? Question on the motion?
Warren?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay. Thank you. Excuse me. Next item under new business is quarter four strategic plan update. Annie?
I guess, Mayor Ostermacher and Assembly. So the quarter four strategic plan update for the time frame of March 1st, 2022, ending in February 28th, 2023 is before you. I just provide a quarter update of where we're at in the plan. So this is the end of this year's plan. We accomplished a lot. I want to say a big thank you to all the staff for all their hard work on this. And now with you approving the prior resolution, we are on to our next planning cycle. If there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Questions for Annie? Okay, thank you for that. Reports and updates. Annie, you could lead off.
All right, thank you. I feel like I've talked a lot. So my report is in the packet. The first one is just a brief update on the Sandpoint Harbor Float Project. On February 24th, the State of Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation did issue a letter of approval to construct for the proposed drinking water improvements for the Sandpoint Harbor. So that's great. That's one of the permitting requirements that we had to meet that has now been accomplished. So that's good news. What's not near is we are continuing to work with MARAD on the NEPA requirements, and so we're still moving forward on that. King Cove Road update's pretty short. We're still waiting for a decision from the 11-member in-bank panel. The legal team continues to work with the state attorney to prepare the ANILCA 1110B complaint to enforce the Department of Interior's decision to grant a road under that section projected by the state from King Cove to the Cold Bay Airport. So there'll be more to come in the next couple of months on that project. School updates, boiler inspections. We have completed the boiler inspections in Accutan, False Pass, and Sandpoint. The False Pass boilers are working, and they are going to be replacing those in early spring/summer. The boilers have a 10 to 16 week lead time, so we're waiting on those to arrive, and then they will be installing those. They have made now 3 attempts to get out to King Cove, but due to weather and or a soft runway, they've been unsuccessful, so they are going to keep trying to get out there to finish that inspection as well. The Sandpoint NEED grant was signed on February 21st, so that project can now officially start. So next week, that will be one of my main projects, is to get that project move forward. So just a reminder, that's HVAC work, security intercom systems, and pool work as well. Sandpoint Pool, we're experiencing, of course, some unexpected and unfavorable delays on this project, but we are making forward progress. With the heat exchanger, we had to determine a lot of things with that, but we've now got the correct heat exchanger with the proper control valves. They are planning on going out on Saturday. The first contractor is going out on Saturday, and then the second one's going to come out on Monday, and then hopefully they'll have the work done by the end of next week. So pending airline travel, we should be good to go. So that's great news. I had been asked quite a bit about the Sandpoint Police Department's Anchorage Airport Interdiction Team grant. I just wanted to give a brief update that in FY21, the borough did approve a community budget grant to the city of Sandpoint for this Anchorage Airport Interdiction Team. It was to fund one calendar year of salary. Per this agreement, the borough did provide $93,000 for this position. We still haven't received the request for a portion of this, so there is money available in there to cover portions of this position. So I just wanted people to know that that's out there. Other items was the auditing. The Cold Bay Clinic is exciting, which is Dow did go do a site visit on February 10th and 11th, and they're in the process of completing their 35% design. HRSA did confirm that we do have the money available, and I can go ahead and start spending that. So we're moving forward on that project. I anticipate signing the remaining work with Dow and getting the 65% done by April, and then hopefully have construction start September with the completion deadline of May 2024. Mayor Ostermacher and I did go to Juneau. It was a great trip. I kind of outlined what we were talking about there. So we'll be following up with Mark Hickey on some of these items. and doing that. And then I do want to give a special thank you to everybody that attended the Board of Fisheries meetings that were in February. That was a lot of work. I want to thank the staff, and particularly Charlotte and Ernie, for all their hard work, and everyone else that was there, as well as the mayor and others. So that was great to see everybody come together for that, and I just want to make sure that thank you is out there on the record. Lastly, I just want to highlight a couple meetings for the upcoming meeting schedule. April 13th is our next meeting. That will be at the designated location. And then we are shooting now for Wednesday, May 3rd. So it's going to be Wednesday, May 3rd for the first May meeting. That's when we will be introducing the FY 2024 budget. So Wednesday, May 3rd, I wanted to avoid graduation, which is the following week, so everybody can go to that. And then we'll have the public hearing on May 18th at the designated location. So I just want to make sure everybody has that on their calendars. There'll be no meeting in June, and then we'll pick up again in July. So with that, if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you, Annie. Any questions for Annie?
Hey, Annie, Chris here. I was boiling at that point. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Go ahead.
This is kind of in regards to meetings. Can we still look at possibly doing like Microsoft Teams or something now that we've got better internet in our communities? I think a face-to-face on a screen or something would be pretty good too. So is that something that we could look into?
We can look into that. It still might be problematic in some of the other communities, but we can see if we can do that and see what our code allows. I'll have Beverly and Google Nora start looking into that.
Other comments or questions for Annie? So if we go live, then do we have to start providing, like, makeup people and everything for everyone? I'm not sure. We'll have to look into it, I guess. Oh, yeah, you're up.
All right. Good afternoon, Mayor and Assembly. I always feel like clapping after Annie goes because she speaks so much, just to give her a good hurrah. Anyway, I would like today to start with ICE services. So that being said, on February 15th, administration did meet with ICE services for its first quarter meeting. Two things that I'd like to take back and present to the Assembly is some of their recommendations. One of which is replacing the server in AEB for the locations in Anchorage, Sandpoint, and Kin Cove, especially now that we have the installation of Starlink. What they've told me, and I don't speak technical too well, but having this set up will allow AEB's data to be backed up on the cloud and provide more reliable infrastructure here in Anchorage. We also discussed cybersecurity, which is always a big topic. Currently, the borough does utilize Beasley Breach Solutions. They recommended a new program called Know Before, which offers a little bit more modules and training to help with phishing and other security hacks that a lot of us are experiencing these days. So those two items I just wanted to bring to the Assembly's radar. Next is the Sandpoint School D Capital Improvement Project, February 23rd or 21st. Administration did fully execute the Department of Education and Early Development Deed Grant for the Sandpoint K-12 Major Maintenance Project. Quick recap, the project is funded at $2.9 million with the borough's participating share set at $1 million. The downside scope of work does not include the foundation repair, so that is something that ECI and Dow will be working together to determine how to substantiate the need for that. We do have pretty big renovations to the pool and other structural items, but again, that is something that ECI and Dow are looking into, and of course, we do need to have a site visit as well. Understanding this is a process. This is not going to happen overnight. It's like making a baby takes 9 months of gestational period, so we got to go through the process of cost estimates and design work, permitting, hiring contractors, and hopefully very soon we will deliver your baby, which is the pool in the school, over to you guys. Wanted to also give you guys an update on the boiler repairs. On February 8th, Long did have a technician make it out to do repairs on the boiler in Accutan, and currently both are operating properly at about 80% efficiency. With False Pass, Long did have a technician travel from Dutch Harbor to False Pass to perform maintenance and repairs on boiler number 2. At the time, the boilers did appear to be working. However, on the 17th, strategic planning date, we were notified that the issue had come back. So thankfully, it was resolved by the end of the day, and we are scheduled to replace the boilers this spring. King Cove, they made 3 attempts to make it out, but due to weather and soft runway, they haven't been able to. They are scheduled to try again on March 13th. Maintenance Connection, I'm continuing to oversee this website by CERC, making sure to process maintenance requests, creating work orders, setting up preventative schedules, and creating purchase orders as needed. Dow also now has access to Maintenance Connection to view and track projects from the beginning to end. And I also ended off with the regular meetings attended for since the last assembly meeting. And that's all. If you guys have any questions, let me know. Thank you.
Thank you, Talia. Any questions? Okay. Laura.
Thank you, Mayor Osterbach and Assembly. My report is in the packet for your review. The big item, as Annie mentioned, of course, was the recent Alaska Board of Fisheries meeting in Anchorage, February 20th through the end of the month. The borough administration and staff attended the Board of Fish. The staff helped to type up testimony, print up copies, et cetera, et cetera. In addition, I had coordinated with the borough and the Eastern Aleutian Fisheries Coalition to draft a press release, which I included a link in our packet, and it is also on our website, as well as our Facebook page. I also helped to coordinate interviews with Area M fishermen for KTUU Channel 2 News, also known as Alaska News Source. The first couple of days, KTUU's coverage mainly covered the perspectives of AYK, so after contacting them a few times and requesting they cover Area M's perspective, we were able to line up interviews for the news with Borough Mayor Alvin Osterbach, Sainers Association President Kylie Thompson, Falls Pass Tribal Administrator Lena Hoblett, Harlan Hoblett of False Pass, as well as Amy Foster of Sandpoint. KUCB also interviewed Mayor Osterbach and Kylie Thompson after receiving the press release. In addition, KNBA reporter Jill Freitas requested interviews from tribal members in Area M. So I lined her up with Harlan Hoblett and Lena Hoblett, as well as Amy Foster. On another note, Borough Natural Resources Director Ernie Wise provided content for the Fish News about what occurred at the Board of Fisheries, and that was on February 26th, which I posted to our website as well as on Facebook. And this issue provided information about how the board addressed South Alaska Peninsula Salmon Fishery Management by adopting Proposal 136 with substitute language found in RC 190. I will defer to our Natural Resources Department for any details on that and other proposals. Currently, I'm working on downloading and sharing images to Facebook and Instagram from the images that were taken by photographer Carrie Tasker over the summer. I've also been requesting and gathering signed photo releases from people in the communities that we took photos of, which is required by the borough's social media policy. And we will need those signed before we're able to post photos of individuals. So we all have photos of course, people, as well as infrastructure, communities, various buildings, scenics, and wildlife photos. And so far, we have posted photos from both False Pass and Cold Bay. So the next one up will be Nelson Lagoon, and then I will work my way through all the communities. So hopefully people will get a chance to enjoy all those images. And I appreciate everyone who helped us out along the way. That was actually huge of me. The trip very successful. Also, I also replaced the main photo that was on our website with one of Akitan and a rainbow. So if you haven't had a chance to see that, please take a look. We can change these out from time to time of our various communities. So those are some of the project highlights. Another one that I'm going to be working on is a white paper that involves the history of the new Sandpoint Harbor. So that pretty much sums up what I've been doing and what I will be working on. So if you have any questions or comments, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you, Mara. Questions? Okay. Ernie.
Thank you, Mayor. My report is also in the packet. I tried to kind of detail for those who weren't at the meeting, and kind of for longevity, I like to look at back at my reports, find out what was going on. And I also wanted to thank everybody who helped, not just at the meeting, but before the meeting, all the organizations and individuals, especially the fishermen and especially the RAM Saners. They have really gone out and, you know, they've sacrificed and they worked hard at this meeting. And just everybody, thank you to the staff. It was very helpful. If you weren't there, a bunch of the assembly was, but if you weren't, we had 3 full days of public testimony. On each meeting page on the Board of Fish, you can go and listen to all the audio, but now they also have YouTube videos. And if you haven't gone, and if you weren't there and didn't listen to Reagan Hoblitz, I suggest you go find her either on the YouTube or on the audio. She reads an essay, A Day in the Life of a Fisherman. And it's the executive director, Art Nelson, brought it to my attention how powerful it was to the board. And so I just wanted to mention that. I show the 11 proposals that were adopted. The big lead up to 140, they spent a whole day Saturday on 140 and on sub 2 language, and it kind of failed. It was the following day, Sunday, where we did pass the best of 3 RCs, RC 190. There was also an RC 191 from Chignik, and then RC 192 from Tanana Chiefs. They were all kind of similar. RC-190 that passed was the best. Again, thanks for everybody. If you are feeling withdrawals from Board of Fish, there's another meeting tomorrow at the Egan Center. So that's a lot of fun. I'll be down there actually to give AEB support for Proposal 161 that would initiate a Board of Fish ground fish policy that would help in RFM certification. I will be opposed to Proposal 154 that would allow purslane drums that have been illegal since forever. That's pretty much all I have, except that either in April or May I might have some Anchorage residents. Again, my seat is up on the Anchorage AC, and you have to have people there to vote for you. So watch out for the people who... Annie, thank you very much for your vote last time around, but I didn't get enough votes. I only had 1 year seat. Anyway, I'm available for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Ernie. Questions for Ernie?
Hey, Ernie, Chris here.
Yeah, Chris.
Hey, I just wanted to thank you for all you did, both you and Charlotte, and the administrative staff, too, with the Board of Fish. I thought it was kind of nice with fast internet now. We were able to watch a lot of it on stream it, and so that was kind of nice too to see that and hear that too. And then also, I don't know if you mentioned, I know people have been asking, the Alaska Marine Ferry summer schedule is out online now, and taking reservations. So
yeah, I was going to mention one ferry each month, May through September. They don't have a schedule for October, but May through September, one each month.
Actually, September has 2 ferries.
Yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm. I missed that.
It's a total of 6 runs, and with 2 runs in September, I believe the first part of the month, and then I think about the middle of the month. But yeah, that was kind of a surprise. But yeah, two in September.
Thank you.
Okay. Other questions for Ernie?
Thank you, Ernie. Charlotte?
All right. Thank you, Mayor Osterbach and Assembly. sorry, my throat's a little bad still. So you have my report in the packet, so I'll start with them. So the council did decide to roll the Trawl EM Committee into the Fisheries Monitoring Advisory Committee, FMAC. And FMAC will handle ongoing EM-related issues and undertake new EM programs. So I am planning on submitting my name, and the first FMAC meeting will be in May. And I'll just only stay on as long as I need to with Trawl EM unless they decide to take up the bottom trawl, which I'll probably want to be involved in. And I also submitted the interim program report and reimbursement request for that grant. Moving on to fixed gear, we are getting ready right now to pilot the new catch handling for the upcoming black cod pot fishery on two boats. So that starts in late March. And I'm hoping to get two additional boats for that pilot program who I'm in talks with right now. I don't have any updates for mariculture at this time. Board of Fisheries and salmon, I won't. Everybody's talked a lot about that. Of course, Mayor Alvin, Ernie, and myself all testified. I spoke to the data portal project, which I think was fairly well received, and received a few questions from board members, which was nice. And then after that, we were all there just supporting with logistics and testimonies and writing and submitting RCs. I did submit an RC in response to RC 192. I provided a link there for you, but it was opposition to RC 192 in reference to explanation section 4, which is that all boats will be required to install certified video surveillance to verify that all caught fish are retained. Of course, that proposal failed, and we knew it would, but for the record, because I don't see this going away, I did write an RC explaining my concerns about implementing a monitoring component based on my experience with the Trawl EM monitoring program, and especially I think it's very cost prohibitive and just not going to accomplish what they think it's going to, so I put that on the record. And now that Board of Fish is done, I think a lot of the real work will begin in following through on our promises. So I'm working with the processors to discuss the logistics of implementing the data portal for this summer and the data streams that we'll need to, and all the sample sorting and all kinds of stuff that we'll need to put into place before June. And I will also be meeting with the fleet to fine-tune the data portal and also discussing post-season review and analysis for the annual reporting requirement that will need to be built into the portal. So I'll be working with the fleet and the department to figure out what that's going to look like going forward. I'm also helping the fleet draft the fleet management agreement. And we have the first draft done, and I'll be incorporating changes to reflect the outcome of the Board of Fish meeting. Additionally, for salmon, I've been asked to put my name in for the Alaska Salmon Research Task Force, which is due tomorrow. So I will be putting my name in for that, and we'll see if my name gets selected. For the cod tagging project, I received the final grant agreement from PacState, so we're going to start spending money. I also finalized those two contracts that came before you last month for Cordata and Kingfisher. I'm leaving on Saturday to Sandpoint, and we'll spend 3 days there in port, and then we'll start on the 16th, I think. We'll get on the boat, and we'll start in Sandpoint and end in Seward. We have sampling sites across the entire Gulf of Alaska, so it's going to be a big trip. But I'm super excited. We are actually going to go hang out with the kids at the school in Sandpoint and do like a hands-on cod dissection outreach day with a bunch of the students on Wednesday, so before they go on their spring break. So I think that'll be super fun, and the kids are really excited about doing that. So, yeah, I'm happy about that. In April, I'll be attending the Western Groundfish Conference in Juneau and also meeting with Marine Exchange to kind of talk about some of their technology for geofencing and being able to track boats that are delivering within borough boundaries for fish tax purposes. Other than that, I think that's it, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Charlotte. Any questions for Charlotte?
Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped a whole section. Just at the end of my report, there's a picture in there. Sorry, that is the first. Actually, it's pretty much done, but that's what the cod tagging application that I had Core Data work on for this upcoming project. So he's already done with that, and I just wanted to give you guys a snapshot of what that looks like. He did a really great job, and we're super excited to use that on this upcoming trip. Sorry. Thanks.
Okay. So next week you guys are going to have a fish fry up at the school, you said?
Well, I don't know if we get to fry the fish. I would love if somebody did that. But, yeah, we're next Wednesday, we're meeting with the marine biology and biology classes at the school to do some cod dissection.
Oh, okay.
Maybe they'll fry them for us. You can do it.
Thank you. Okay, and Jackie.
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly. I do have a report in the packet for this meeting. I've been working quite a bit with numbers, so let me see if I can see my words. We've been pretty busy with budget stuff lately. So the audit, since the last report I had in the packet in January, we've completed the SCASB 87 requirements that Excel schedule was pretty comprehensive. I'm still not 100% sure exactly the final, what that actually entails. It's really complicated, actually, in the leases. But that has been completed, so we sent our draft financials to the auditors a few weeks ago, actually maybe a month ago, and they should be issuing their audit soon. I think the last update they said it was going to be sometime in the beginning of March. So hopefully we could hear from them and we'll be able to get all of that information double-checked in our system to align with their numbers, and we could start sending the stuff to Cassell. I'm hoping that Cassell will have enough time in their second phase to roll out in the beginning of the next fiscal year if we get that stuff back from the auditors pretty quick. Since my last report, we ended the quarter in December, which was also the end of the year, so we were pretty busy with all the end-of-the-year payroll stuff, the reporting to the IRS and to the state for the taxes. Also, end of a quarter for the grants. We had to do quite some work to make sure those align up so that it's a lot easier at the end of the year to make sure that your grant reports can be reconciled pretty quick for the audit. And the last few years, they've been kind of wonky at the end of the year. So this year, I'm hoping by the time June comes around, those will just be ready to just print off. So doing a little bit extra work at the quarter end, just so that it'll be less at the end of the fiscal year. As I mentioned, the GASB 87, this standard changed the way the lease payments and revenues are accounted for, and for any leases that we have or any leases that people are paying us. The entry was made, and I'm still researching, trying to figure out exactly what all the little things mean, but as I said, the worksheet is pretty comprehensive. Basically, we're recording it, like if you have a lease that's like 10 years long, you have to record like the entire amount you're expecting to collect in that 10 years, and then there's numbers that come in each year for percentages that they want to account for as a principal and reducing that portion, and it's pretty complicated. Hopefully someday I can explain to you in, like, English exactly what it means, but it's a process. But that kind of made us change the way that we are doing things to account for some of our leases currently. So we'll see some small changes as we work through this process to make sure we're recording our lease payments and our lease revenues according to the generally accepted accounting practices. The financial policies and procedures were part of the strategic plan. I've kind of reworked the plan since this was actually started when I was as the county clerk. I've gone and reorganized everything according to the new needs that have been identified in this past year working as a finance director. So we have three main focus groups this year, and the first one does contain the wire transfers and the investment account reconciliations. The wire transfers is going to be a fairly simple process, and we've already begun and had some changes initiated in the banking system to make sure that we have internal controls in there, as well as investment reconciliations. So now it's a matter of just documenting those processes on paper. I did go out for the strategic planning. As you all know, you've seen me. that was very, very informative. I do appreciate those strategic planning meetings, and it's really nice to have that brainstorming session and to hear everything that's going on within the whole region, and a lot of stuff comes to the table. Other than that, I've been really busy with routine finance tasks to publish the monthly financials and some other projects such as the liquidity analysis. We did the RFP for the audit and getting all the data and everything ready for the decoupling of the bank. And I will be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Jackie. Questions for Jackie? Okay. So now we're down to assembly comments where you get to share your idea. Any assembly comments? Okay.
Mayor,
hi, Mr. Mayor. This is Josie.
Oh. Go ahead, Josie.
Oh, I just wanted to say the strategic plan looks awesome, and I'm sad that I couldn't attend as well as the Swampsea. So hopefully the upcoming King Cole trip, I guess. It turns out where travel, you know, we had issues with Swampsea with fueling stations between Dutch and Anchorage, so that didn't happen. But I just wanted to say everything looks great.
Okay. Thank you. Did someone else have a comment?
Yes, Mayor Sebastian Assembly, this is Daly.
Go ahead, Daly.
Okay, well, yeah, I'd like to say that the strategic planning meeting was very good. I enjoyed it, and lots of good information and getting together face-to-face. I had one other question for you, Mayor Sebek. For, you know, you said, like, for a harbor master, like for the cities or the communities, they have someone named or hired as a harbor master to go to the meetings. It's a good idea to get in, also to help get monies like grants and stuff for your respective cities or communities. So do they just have to be hired by, like, the city or whatever to and be stated as a harbor master?
Oh, for the annual Harbor Masters meeting? If you go on their website, you can take a look at what's on there. And it's not just Harbor Masters. Administrators go. Different vendor-type people go. Also people that build harbors, designers. So it's basically to inform, you know, Harbor Master and Harbor personnel on where things are at and how to get monies and that type of thing. But no, if you look on their website, I think it'll pretty much be self-explanatory that you can join other than being just a harbor master in municipalities.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's all I had. Thank you.
Okay. Other assembly members?
Yeah, Warren here. I'd like to thank everybody and staff and Alvin, too, for our fish board process in our meeting we had out there with the fish board. And I want to thank all the people that came out there and supported our fishery with their testimonies. And during the end of the in the deliberation process, we heard many times that if you didn't have a big bunch of people out there to testify and to support your communities and fisheries, that it makes it, you know, it wouldn't make a big difference if there wasn't very many people, but we had a lot of people there, so it made a big difference to hear everybody speak. So thanks again to the people that participated in our fish board process, and that'll be all I have. Thanks.
Thank you, Mark. Jim?
I had just about the same thing as Warren there. Thanks to all the staff and to the girls for the room. We call it the war room, but I think it went pretty smoothly.
Okay. Other comments from the assembly?
Yeah, this is Brenda. I got to participate in the strategic planning meeting that on the Friday, and it was extremely awesome to hear, you know, what the staff does on not just a monthly basis, but on a daily basis, what they do, things they strive to achieve. Oh, sorry.
Well, that was weird.
Hello, are you still there?
Was that like a FIP meter or something? What's that?
GCI testing their phone line.
Holy, I almost had a heart attack. Thought it was a fire alarm. But thank you very much to everyone for being there and doing everything that they did to make it successful.
Yeah. Thanks for that, Brenda. Other family members? Okay. So, like everyone else, I want to thank everybody who went out to the Board of Health meetings.
Chris here. I'm sorry I got cut off for a minute.
Well, yeah, you cut me off. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that again, thank you for everybody that was at the Board of Fish. I did listen to you on streaming, and I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to make it out to Strategic or Swampsea. There was an emergency that came up, and so I had to take care of that. But thanks again for all you guys did at Board of Fish. So.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. Other comments? Okay. So, I just want to thank everybody for being out there. And as everyone knows, fisheries is what's important to the Aleutians Eastboro, along with the education, I always tell everybody. So we're always going to support the fisheries, and that's what provides us with our income to be able to operate. So, again, thank everyone. And we will continue to support fisheries at any of our meetings. So, with that, public comment. Okay, so the next meeting date is April 13th, and I am looking for a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion, Mr. Josie.
Thank you.
Take it to work.
Thank you. Everybody have a good evening. Bye.